on Hoosier Ag Today. Welcome on the 30th of July, 2024 to the Tuesday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank, Eric Pfeiffer, and CJ Miller here with the news, including details of an Indiana Ag Company's Harvest for Hunger Garden and what's on the menu at the State Fair from our friends in the pork and beef industries. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says very warm and humid conditions and pop-up thunderstorms will continue. And yesterday, soybean futures sold off while corn and wheat posted gains. We'll have settlements and John Zanker analysis on the Hat Tuesday podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at FFBT.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal Opportunity Lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
A global company helping feed their neighborhood and getting ready for the food at the Indiana State Fair. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Last week, employees at the Corteva AgriScience headquarters in Indianapolis celebrated a milestone. Heidi Spahn, Global Community Investment Leader for Corteva, explains.
So back in 2014, there was a group of employees that thought, we should be able to do more as an agricultural company to help feed the local community. And could we do that through providing fresh produce? And so they identified 2 acres of land on our property here on the northwest side and created a Harvest for Hunger garden. And it was all about creating produce to get into local food pantries so that they had fresh produce for their clients.
That Harvest for Hunger garden has now distributed over 100,000 pounds of produce to local food pantries since 2014. The garden is led entirely by Corteva employee volunteers. Kathy Hahn-Kiner is the executive director of the Crooked Creek Food Pantry. Crooked Creek didn't exist 10 years ago. Corteva helped to establish the food pantry in their neighborhood in Pike Township.
Corteva has been a mission-critical partner since day one. Before Crooked Creek Food Pantry was even formed, Corteva and other community partners got together. We knew there was a need on the northwest side of Indianapolis, lack of food access, food insecurity being so high, and unfortunately a lot of those things have not changed. The need is still great. And so having Corteva and other partners from day one really makes a difference. And today with Corteva's Harvest for Hunger garden, we get much of their produce, and we're very grateful for that.
And it's not just the produce Crooked Creek is getting from Corteva. The employees are volunteering in the garden and in the pantry.
So to run a food pantry, you need food, funds, and feet. And so Corteva's volunteering at our pantry on a regular basis is a game changer. We really appreciate that. Not only do their employees, but then they bring their families. And so we love seeing the blue shirts because we know we're going to have a good group of volunteers on a regular basis. And then Corteva also plays a leadership role on our board of directors.
Crooked Creek Food Pantry requires more than 150 volunteers per week. If you'd like to help them out, visit ccfpindy.org and be sure to visit your local food pantry to see what their volunteer needs are as well. The Indiana State Fair kicks off on Friday, and you know me, my first stops will be at the Indiana pork and beef tents. CJ Miller has a preview of what I'll find.
Thank you, Eric. The Indiana Pork Producers Association will have 3 different tents across the Indiana State Fairgrounds.
We have one located near Pioneer Village. We have one that's located in front of the West Pavilion or the Cattle Barn, and then one in front of the Indiana Farm Bureau Fall Creek Pavilion or the Swine Barn. You can't miss us.
And that's Jeanette Merritt, Director of Communications with Indiana Pork. She says their signature dish is their pork riblets.
They are run through the same seasoning that our pork burgers are seasoned with. So if you love the taste of our pork burgers, you're going to love these ribs. They are dry. They're not going to create a ton of sticky fingers, but we are serving them with three different sauces. We're going to do them with a hot honey, a citrus sauce, and a barbecue sauce.
Also, the Indiana Beef Cattle Association is serving up their specialty dish, the Hoosier Cowboy Sandwich.
Perfectly grilled ribeye stuck between two pieces of pepper jack cheese on grilled sourdough bread.
And that's Brian Shooter, Executive Vice President of Indiana Beef. He told me how he and his team collaborated with American Dairy Association Indiana on the Hoosier Cowboy Sandwich.
Last year, sitting around at the state fair, we were playing around with some sandwiches and decided to try throwing a grilled ribeye in the middle of one of their grilled cheese sandwiches and trying that. We also have beef brats, all beef hot dogs, as well as a smoked brisket sandwich.
And where can you find the Indiana Beef Tent at the Indiana State Fairgrounds this year?
We're kind of tucked in a corner here in the just outside the cattle barn on the north end. Walk along Main Street, get close to the cattle barn, and you'll certainly smell our ribeyes grilling on the grill.
Read more about the food items available from the Indiana Pork and Beef Checkoffs at the Indiana State Fair at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eiley Fabrications, made with the best steel, such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eiley's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Looking at a very warm, a very muggy finish to the week here. Yesterday we kicked it off. Not necessarily very nice. I, for one, did not like being outside yesterday, but we've got more of the same. Very high humidity here over the next few days. Pop-up shower and thunderstorm action. We're going to focus the shower and thunderstorm action more on the afternoon and overnight, but I don't want you to be confused here. It can happen at any time. So we can see our nice rounds of showers and thunderstorms pretty much any time. If there's an area of opportunity for us to miss out, it looks like it could be later this afternoon, evening, and into early tomorrow morning, but I don't want to get too cute. We definitely see the atmosphere reloading for thunderstorms later Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So significant moisture still coming. I think combined for the balance of the week through Friday afternoon and evening, we have to put in anywhere from another 1.5 to 1.5 inches of rain. We will follow this up with a drier weekend, maybe not seeing the humidity break in a large fashion, but I think we get by without any additional rain from a late Saturday afternoon right on through Sunday, and we'll keep that stretch going into early next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think temperatures ease back a little bit for Sunday and Monday, but by the time we get to Wednesday, atmospheric conditions are going to start to moisten up again, heat building out of the western U.S., and a slow sagging frontal boundary likely triggers showers and thunderstorms late Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening through Thursday. And this one could come with a little bit of a change in air mass. If that cooler Canadian air comes in behind the front, that's where we will see a little bit of a change. If it stays farther north, then we'll probably see bigger rain totals as moisture just kind of runs across the same area hour after hour after hour. So kind of a daunting setup for late next week already. We're going to watch that closely as we move through the days ahead, give you updates as we get there. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. But make sure you take advantage of the air conditioning here the next few days. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrient.com. science.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. A comeback in corn and wheat. Soybeans come back too, but finished lower. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Monday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Settlements on the way. We begin, though, with market analysis, which I grabbed from John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities near the end of the session. John, the grains lower to start the week, but then mounted a bit of a comeback, and certainly soybeans also came off of the lows. But the bean market on Friday and again on Monday getting hit hard as we get more rains in the forecast. Is that the primary focus?
That's the primary focus, Andy. Friday or Thursday evening when I saw the extended forecast, I thought maybe we could see a little bump on Friday and maybe give us an opportunity to get some additional sales on. But wow, the trade certainly didn't look at that forecast with any great concerns, and we had a terrible day, and at one point today we had beans down 30 cents. So it's nice to see a bounce. The problem is that bounce is off a 45-month low and contract low. So not an unusual technical response when we make new lows. So I'm not encouraged. Excuse me. I'm not encouraged by the bounce off the low until we get some confirmation of that with a, you know, higher market tomorrow and Wednesday. We'll see what these ratings are this afternoon. I think we're going to see improved ratings in Indiana and Illinois, not so much out west where they've been missing some of these rains. And the forecast going forward for the Western Corn Belt, not exceptionally wet and some hot days ahead. So I'm a little surprised with the last 2 days' activity, but this morning traders woke up and it's raining. Rain was coming out of eastern Iowa into Illinois, and that's usually a pretty poor setup for a good price reaction.
Nice to see the rains, especially where they're needed, but as you indicated, doesn't necessarily help with prices. And also not helping on Monday the entire soy complex. Meal and oil lower as well. The export inspections, however, pretty good, or at least at the upper end of expectations for both corn and beans.
I think there was a little help. I think that was I think that helped beans bounce, and 14.8 million is not too bad in late July. So we've often seen that number drift down below 10 as we head into late July and August. So I'm a little surprised, and it wasn't due to China. China had a very small amount of that. So I think Germany was big, Japan, Mexico. So that was a bit encouraging, but we're still going to be dominated by weather. And then next week we have the USDA's first production report.
Let's talk about corn and beans. As I mentioned, lower to start the day, but then moving off of those lows, even working into higher ground.
Yeah, I'm encouraged by that. But the reality is that we're just going to be dominated by the weather. And what's the next weather forecast, Andy? If you get that heat completely moved out and allow some moisture coming in over the top of that western ridge, that's a pretty good setup for record yields. And I think we've had enough problems in the West to where I think it's going to be difficult for the USDA to come in and with a yield that's above or much above that 181 that is currently being used. Same thing with soybeans. That's just too early, and it'll be too early in August to make any call there. But I think, you know, I've come off of my ultimate or maximum high in corn. It's still there in beans. I think we can go over 54 bushels if we have some good August weather from Grand Island, Nebraska to Pennsylvania.
Insights from John Zanker. He is with Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette. The number there is 866-837-9027. Now the Monday numbers. At settlement time, September corn, 396 and a quarter, a gain of a penny and three quarters. Up 2 1/4 on D's, 412 and a quarter. March, 427, up 2.5 cents. 22 and three quarters lower on on the August beans, 10.54 and three quarters. September 10.30 even, down 12. November contract down 9 cents, going to 10.39 and a half. September wheat 5.31, that was up 7.5 cents. December 5.55 and a quarter, up 6.75. Over in the meats, October live cattle 186.80, down $1.75. Very weak in the hog market, October 74.82, down 3.37. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.